Mr. Stevens.
It please the court, it is the appellant's fundamental position that imprisoning him for his alcoholism and drug addiction is cruel and unusual punishment. And we have here a situation where Mr. Stinson has a protracted history of alcoholism and drug addiction.
So what should we do with him?
Terminate his supervised release as unsuccessful.
And he just goes back to his criminal activities?
No,
incarcerated? Can he be put in an insane asylum or something, or what?
Well, insane asylum might be an option, but or some form of involuntary treatment, but punishment, that is imprisonment, is improper.
So it's okay to lock him up indefinitely. Just don't call it prison.
No, you have to, if you're going to give him treatment and confine him in a treatment program, you have to actually give him treatment. You don't just warehouse him.
I mean, has he had treatment before?
What?
Has he had treatment?
Yes, I think there are.
He doesn't react to it.
Pardon?
It doesn't work. He doesn't react.
It worked for brief periods of time, but then he's gone back to it.
Like a chronic alcoholic, he can quit for a brief period of time.
Brief periods of time, and that's the history here. I mean, I think there were three drug treatment programs that he was in, one residential programs that he was in, and he stayed clean and sober for maybe 3 months, 5 months. There was a period of time.
In your analysis of your client,
yes,
and your appointments, so
yes.
I started out. Did you discover whether or not he was able to stop his behavior pattern by himself, or he cannot? That he has to have help.
He couldn't do it by himself.
Then is he a danger to himself or to other people if he is not incarcerated?
Not necessarily.
Well, then he wouldn't be eligible to be put in an insane asylum either, because we can only put people away if they are a danger to themselves or others. Am I correct?
Right. Well, it...
Well, then, I think what we do with others, we can't put them anyplace.
There were times when he acted out in a way that where he was legitimately imprisoned. I mean, that was a prior supervised release, and he smacked somebody during one of his.
Would that be because of his alcoholism, his drinking? Did he smack somebody? Or was it?
It was a contributing factor, but it wasn't the only thing. And we didn't take an appeal from that revocation of his supervised release because there was some criminal conduct that went along with that. But that's not why we're here now.
To avoid the criminal conduct, the imposition of the probation rule of probation was don't drink or don't take narcotics.
Right, and
that's the prevention.
And I don't have a problem with that. That condition of probation is lawful.
Okay.
What I'm complaining about here is that imprisonment, when he essentially involuntarily returns to practicing his addiction, that's the problem.
Court reject that argument in Powell versus Texas.
I don't
cite in your brief. That's what they held. That even though he was compelled to drink by his affliction, he could be punished for public intoxication. Please mention that in your brief.
And I, that that
That's the Warren Court. That's 1968. That's not the conservatives.
We don't have anything.
How do we overrule Powell versus Texas?
We look at the modern neuroscience that we have.
The Court of Appeals cannot overrule a Supreme Court decision, no matter how dumb the Supreme Court decision is.
You can say that when somebody engages in involuntary conduct.
No, you can't, because that was Powell versus Texas.
I don't think that the Supreme Court has addressed the revocation of supervised release on the fact that
this. I don't think there is such a case, but the underlying issue is the same. Can the state punish an alcoholic for public intoxication? And the answer of the Supreme Court said was yes, even though it's totally involuntary.
But what we have in this record is a positive result for cocaine, failing to participate in an aftercare program, and use of alcohol. And I'm saying that on those admitted facts,
right,
it does not run afoul of such things as drunk driving, public intoxication, or other factors for which you could be legitimately punished.
As long as he was private in his drinking and using drugs, we couldn't punish him because he's an addict.
You couldn't revoke. You couldn't imprison him for violation of the supervised release. You could say that he's violated his supervised release. You could.
How is that different from the public intoxication? I don't understand that.
Public intoxication is a fresh criminal conduct. It would be a class A violation.
That's fresh. I'm sure he was doing that a lot.
Well, public intoxication would be a class A violation.
I'm reading from Powell. Testified concerning the history of his drinking problem. He reviewed his many arrests for drunkenness. Testified that he's unable to stop drinking. Stated that when he was intoxicated, he had no control over his actions. Okay? So it's just the same. It's the same thing.
I think the stipulation of Stenson's conduct is more limited than the scope.
There's no difference. You're arguing against the Supreme Court. Thurgood Marshall, not exactly a conservative.
Thurgood Marshall himself drank, by the way.
I take it your position is that you believe that the Supreme Court, if it had the opportunity to reexamine the findings of modern neuroscience, might come to a different conclusion on this as a matter of just recognizing involuntary conduct.
Yes.
Okay. Some of the enlightened members of the court.
But the Supreme Court has been emphatic that the courts of appeals and other lower courts are not allowed to anticipate that the Supreme Court might overrule one of its decisions. It's supposed to apply the decision, and then the Supreme Court can overrule it if it wants. We've done that several times. We've said, you know, we think the Supreme Court would and should overrule this decision, but we have to follow it, and we're... In one of our cases, State Oil versus Kahn, the Supreme Court said yes. Thank you very much.
If you were charged with public intoxication, you wouldn't complain about that.
What you're
complaining about is not that they charge you, but they're sending him to jail for drinking when he hasn't done anything other than drink.
That's right. That's it.
That's your point.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Misijic?
May it please the Court, Your Honor. My name is John Machasek, and I represent the United States in this matter. And I was the AUSA in charge, involved in the case at the district court. And one of the judges asked the question, was this solely for alcohol consumption? And that's not the situation that we have here. This isn't the case where a probation officer went to the defendant's house, found him drinking alcohol, and then he was violated simply for the use of alcohol, which might bring it closer to the facts in Robinson, where in Robinson the Supreme Court prohibited a status offense only. That isn't what we have here. In addition to the last violation, which the record is not clear, but the use of alcohol in those instances resulted in police officers being called because the defendant was drunk in public. Now, I admit that the record is not clear on that. But then you also have these two other violations involving failure to attend treatment and also possessing illegal narcotics, which is a violation. And so what we don't have here, first of all, is pure use. And we also don't have what the Supreme Court said in Powell and what this court said in Black would be necessary for a finding that there was some uncontrollable compulsion, which would be some sort of testimony by a psychiatrist that the defendant can't control this compulsion. We don't have that here. All we have is a bare allegation that that's the situation.
Well, he says he can't.
Well, he says he can't, but that's...
And a psychiatrist can't override that by saying, yes, he can, I think he can.
Well,
some people can, some people can.
I think that the testimony of the defendant himself might be a little bit self-serving in that regard. And in Powell, there was testimony by Dr. Wade, and I think Judge Posner read from that, I believe that's what he was reading, that the defendant couldn't control his consumption once he started drinking.
I venture that almost any doctor, psychiatrist, or otherwise will tell you when a true alcoholic has the first drink, we're on the slippery slope, gone. After that, he can't control it. So that's not even an issue.
Well, in Powell, that actually was the case because...
You can quit eventually. That's when they can't swallow anymore most of the time.
Right. But in Powell, there was testimony by the doctor that Mr. Powell could not control his drinking.
Said you don't even have to have a doctor. Anybody's observed, alcoholics will know that once they started their first drink, unless something intervenes, they keep right on drinking.
But Your Honor, in Powell, Mr. Powell himself, when he was testifying, said he had taken a drink that very day of the hearing and had not had any more.
Because he didn't have a chance yet. Give him a crack at it, he'd be right out of the place and at it again.
Well,
it begs the question of what we have here anyway. So
right, because we also have the issue of this drug consumption. And there's really no record below that the defendant is addicted, is polysubstance addicted. So the record shows that he has a lot of arrests for alcohol.
Is it correct that Judge Miller basically reached the sensible conclusion here and said no supervised release after the current incarceration?
Yes, and that was
the endless cycle here.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that was based upon the recommendation of the government and the probation officer that there was no point
he's just not
in continuing
the
supervision. Right.
He just can't succeed.
So, correct. Mm-hmm. Unless the court has any other questions for me, I'll ask that the judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Stevens, have any time? 1 minute? Okay. You have anything further?
I'd just like to point out that Judge Miller did agree that alcoholism is a disease and that Mr. Stenson had it, and that the specific violations which the defendant stipulated to are the use, the failure to, the use of the cocaine, which which I believe was used to facilitate his drinking. He could drink more if he could if he took some cocaine, and the drinking.
What is your position imply for criminal punishment of child molesters? They're obviously acting under compulsion to a considerable degree, aren't they?
They probably are, and certainly looking at the totality of circumstances for a child molester to find out what is driving their behavior is something that a sentencing court should look at as a mitigating factor. But that
you're not talking about mitigation. You're saying it's unconstitutional to punish people who act under compulsion.
I'm not saying all compulsions. I'm saying the compulsion to use drugs and alcohol.
What about compulsion to molest children?
Hurts children. Difference.
What's the difference?
I say, no, that's the difference. It hurts someone.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not saying that people who are alcoholics get to drive drunk or that they get into bar fights.
Punish them for driving drunk?
Sure.
Sure, we can punish them for driving.
What if they're compulsive about drinking?
They're not compulsive about getting behind the wheel and driving.
They have to go home. They have to stop for a drink. They can't resist.
Yeah, as long as you're not compelled to drive or compulsively driving, I mean, you're safe. Yeah.
Suppose he's commuting to work and he has an irresistible desire for a drink.
It's happened to me a lot.
Can he be punished for that if he drinks while he's driving?
Yes.
It's a compulsion? Can he be arrested for drunk driving?
If he's an obsessive compulsive driver, I think that's a different problem than being an alcoholic.
Well, it's compulsion.
Okay. It may be, but the alcoholism and drug addiction, the neuroscience is very well developed on that, and the drinking and the drug use is involuntary behavior, and that's what we're saying you don't imprison people for.
That's your point.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Stephen. And you were appointed?
Yes, I was.
Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. And